But this explains everything. It was the cocoa and not the coffee that was poisoned.
Do you think that the cocoa contains strychnine?
Of course. The salt on the tray, what else could it have been?
It might have been salt.
Oh, for goodness sake, Poirot.
Oh, you are not pleased with me, mon ami.
My dear Poirot, it's not for me to dictate to you. You have a right to your opinion, as I have a right to mine.
Good. So, let us examine the coffee cups.
What on earth's the good of that now we know about the cocoa?
Come, come, my friend. Ne vous fâchez pas. Allow me to interest myself in the coffee cups, and I will respect your cocoa. Is it a bargain?
He was so quaintly humorous that I was forced to laugh. And so we went into the drawing room, where the coffee cups had been left from the previous evening.
So Mrs. Cavendish stood by the tray and poured out. Then she came across to the window where you were sitting with Mademoiselle Cynthia. Yes, here are the cups. And the cup on the mantelpiece, half drunk. That would be the cup of Mr. Lawrence. And the one on the tray?
John Cavendish's. I saw him put it down there.
But where is the cup of Mr. Inglethorpe?
He doesn't take coffee.
Ah, good. Then all are accounted for.
With infinite care, he took a specimen from the grounds of each cup, sealing them in separate little test tubes, tasting each in turn. There was a strange expression on his face, half puzzlement and half relief.
I trust I'm not disturbing you, Monsieur Poirot, but breakfast is ready. Will you join us?
It would be a pleasure.
Can you tell me whether you think my mother died a natural death, or must we prepare ourselves for the worst?
I think you would do well not to deceive yourself with any false hopes. What are the views of the other members of your family?
My brother Lawrence is convinced we're all making a fuss about nothing.
And Mrs. Cavendish?
I haven't the least idea of my wife's views on the subject. But what the devil are we going to do about Inglethorpe? One's gorge rather rises at sitting down to eat with a man who's probably a murderer.
At breakfast there were no red eyes, no signs of secretly indulged grief. Inglethorpe acted the bereaved widower. Mary Cavendish was as enigmatic as a sphinx. Cynthia Murdoch appeared tired and ill, and greatly disconcerted Poirot when she told him she did not take sugar in her coffee.
Excuse me, Mr. Cavendish, but Mr. Wells is here to see you.
You'll show him into my study, will you, Dorcas?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Wells is my mother's lawyer. Perhaps you'd like to come with me, Monsieur Poirot, and you too, of course, Hastings.
This is a most unhappy business, Mr. Cavendish.
I'm sure you understand, Wells, that this must all be kept strictly private. We're still hoping there will turn out to be no need for an investigation of any kind.
I should be failing in my duty if I were to encourage you in that hope. There is no chance of sparing you the pain and publicity of an inquest. It's quite unavoidable in the absence of a doctor's certificate.
I suppose it is. When will it be?
Well, if you've no objection, I thought of Friday. That'll give us plenty of time after today's post-mortem. Oh, will that arrangement suit you?
Oh, yes. The sooner we get it over with, the better.
I need not tell you how distressed I am by the whole tragic affair.
Could you perhaps give us some help in solving the mystery, Mr. Wells?
I would be only too delighted to do so, if it's in my power.
Apparently, Mrs. Inglethorpe wrote a letter to you last night. You should have received it this morning.
I did, but it was merely a note asking me to call on her today, as she wanted my advice on a matter of great importance. But she gave no hint as to what the matter might be.
That is a pity.
Mr. Wells, if it is not against professional etiquette, can you tell us who inherits Mrs. Inglethorpe's fortune in the event of her death?
If Mr. Cavendish does not object.
Not at all. Go ahead.
By her last will, dated April of last year, she left her entire fortune to her stepson, Mr. John Cavendish. It's possible, of course, that somewhere there may be a later will.
There is a later will, Mr. Wells.
Or rather, there was.
What do you mean? Where is it now?
This charred fragment is all that remains of it. Hastings and I found it in the grate of Mrs. Inglethorpe's bedroom earlier this morning.
But when did she make it?
Sometime yesterday afternoon, I believe. You can ask the gardeners who were working just outside the window. She must have called them in to witness it. There was mud on the step of the French window.
So that was why you were so interested in the begonias.
Mm-hmm.
But it is an extraordinary coincidence she should make a new will on the day of her death.
Not that extraordinary.